John in chapter 6. And we are going to back up and read verse 12 through verse 21. There's some things I want to bring out that we didn't this morning in the latter half of this. Chapter 6, verse 12 through 21. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said this of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus, therefore, perceived that they come to take him by force and to make him king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. And when even was come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 to 20 or 30 furlongs, 3 to 4 miles, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. This morning we focused on the Jews that followed Jesus for the blessings, but did not understand what the blessings were focused upon. They were in spiritual blindness and could only see the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and not the spiritual message. Tonight, I want us to focus rather on the apostles, the 12 men, 11 saved, that had forsaken all for the cause of Christ. From this text, we have a spiritual warning to the lost who follow Jesus selfishly. That is the main point of the chapter. But there is a minor point that John is making here that we want to bring out. But we also have comfort for the saved who have forsaken all to follow him. What does hunger in an isolated wilderness and wind on a sea have in common? Well, if you have too much of both, you die. What does these fragments of baskets and a boat have in common? And that's what John is giving us as a side note. First of all, the message of the baskets. We've already dealt with the feeding of the 5,000. I just want to deal with the message tonight. 2 points, the message of the baskets and the message of the boat. Because both of them had provision in it. We look here at verse 12, and when they were filled, that's the disciples, the apostles went out and gave to them. He said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remaineth, that nothing be lost, no waste. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen, and he goes on to talk about the king and then wanting to make him king. We've already covered that. What is the message of these baskets? Well, there were 12 baskets left over and 12 apostles. I don't see anything in this text that tells us anything other than the apostles just started giving out. I don't know that they ate why they gave out, but it sure doesn't indicate in any of the four that they ate and gave out. They just started giving out. In all four accounts, I don't see anywhere where any of the apostles complained about being in a desert in an isolated place without any food or water. We many times talk about the apostles and they bring out their own lack of faith. But at times we need to see what the apostles had done. I mean, I know that Peter didn't do well in part when the rich young ruler walked away and he said, Lord, we have forsaken all, what shall we have? But the fact remains, we have forsaken all. We have forsaken all. What does these baskets mean? When you have forsaken all for Christ, he'll never forsake you. What is the message to these disciples? Now, I want to make one point clear tonight that I may, just so you're not confused on that I said this morning, I love bread. I will re-preach that for a little while. I'm teasing, I am, but I tell you, when others give and it shares, I tell you what, Brother John brought some cornbread, jalapeno cornbread. You can tell he's not listening because he's not even looking at me and I'm talking about it. And man, that stuff's like cake. I mean, that stuff was good. I mean, it's one thing when other people are considerate to provide for you. And the creator and sustainer of this universe says, you go out and you give your life for others, and I'll provide for you. That is the message of the apostles. What is he saying to Philip and Andrew, who really didn't answer his question very faithfully? Philip, where's the local store? We need to feed these people. Well, Lord, even if there was a local store, I mean, if we had 8 months worth of wages, we couldn't buy enough bread for everybody to get a bite. Now, that's not really the answer, a spiritual answer, is it? Oh, I'm sorry. We always have spiritual answers, right? What about Andrew came along and said, yeah, all we got's a boy's lunch here, but what's that amongst 30,000, 20,000 people? What's his message to Philip and to Andrew? Even when your faith falters in your answers, God is faithful even to his faithless children. I still have a provision for you. You didn't believe me and trust me like you should in that moment, but I still have a provision for you. I think the spiritual concept here is found in Matthew chapter 6. If you want to look with me, I'm going to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 6. And we'll begin our reading in verse 19, Matthew the 6th chapter. And we can certainly say these verses about his apostles, at least 11 of them. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. These men had forsaken all to follow the Lord. They're not complaining about being in a isolated wilderness and hungry. They just don't know how they're going to feed the crowd. But he said, here, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I like what Jeff Fugit used to say often. When God saves a man, he saves all of a man, including his wallet. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Look with me here in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money. Can't do it. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And look at verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles, the heathen, the lost. The heathen, the lost, even the lost Jews, they live for the temporal, as we talked about this morning. They live for the physical. They live for what they can do. God's people are not that way. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But don't seek after these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you seek after the Lord and to follow the Lord, he's got a basket for you as well. Just give. When you give out all that's in your basket, Jesus has a basket for you. You know, I don't know. I'm trying not to. I want to say this as a point. I don't want to get emotional, and if I do, I do. But I have lived, and I'm not bragging on myself, whatever good, we all have our strengths and weaknesses in the spiritual life, and our strengths are God's strengths, and our weaknesses are just ourselves. But the best I can, I have lived my life for the gospel of Jesus Christ for the last 23 years and for other people. My jobs, everything that I've ever done has always come second place to serve him. It's always come second place to serve him. I've served in churches where I've got paid $75 a week to drive 3 hours one way for one service. Round trip. You know? I've never had worried about that. First time I was down here, I something happened. I got injured. I went back to Kentucky. And you know, I've lived my life trying to give to others. I called people that I had, other preachers that I had helped out in financial hardship. And you know what? Not one of, and I knew, and I only called the ones that I knew that were doing well at the time. I didn't get $1 from any of them. Matter of fact, a man that I practically fed his family for months, he won't even speak to me over something trivial. But you know what? A man that I never gave a thing to, called me up and said, Brother Robbie, I've heard about what's going on. Is there any way I can help you? The Lord has a way of working it out where I'm not getting paid back from these men that I helped, but it's the Lord providing. You know, I had spent my life in sales. But about 2 years before I came to this church, I decided I can't do it anymore. There's a moral conflict. And if you don't know, I'm not going to explain all that. There's just a little, I just can't do it anymore. There's a moral conflict. And I'm not complaining, but I took a job for half the pay doing twice the work, crawling in attics and crawl spaces and using jackhammer or hammer drills. And I mean, I came down here to work. I wasn't here but a couple months. And everything changed on a dime. You know, God knows where to put you and when to put you because he knows the road ahead. And I had been here but a couple months. And that business meeting y'all gave me that check, I literally thought I was going to pass out. I couldn't believe it. All those years serving people in other places, I come here and I hadn't even hardly unpacked my clothes yet. And God had a basket here for me. When you give God your life, he'll have a basket for you. He'll take care of you. And just go on and follow him into the desert place. And go on and empty your basket while you're hungry. But God still has a basket for you. Now the message of the boat. What's the message of the boat? What's the message of the boat? You know, I was talking to Kenny after on the porch a little bit. And anytime we look at a Bible story, it's true. But there's different emphasis to things. You know, there's different emphasis. This story is in Mark. But this story here is tiny compared to Mark. And Mark's a quick gospel. Mark gives a lot of detail. And actually, even though it's the same account, it has two different points. Now, we preachers, or you, we can overtell a story. And we can undertell a story. But under inspiration, you don't overtell a story and you don't undertell a story. And so John isn't just plugging this in so we know that he's in the same timeline as the others. There's a reason why he gets quickly through this story. And so let's look at this story. Verse 18. They entered into a ship. They're going over. Jesus isn't with them in verse 17. And then in verse 18, and the sea arose by reason of great wind that blew. Now, Sea of Galilee is kind of like a basin, and boy, just storms, wind can come in and go out in a real quick fashion. And they're in here, and this is a dangerous situation. They had rowed out, you know, several miles into the sea, so there's no way that they could get back. I mean, they're out there. And then Jesus comes walking on the water. He's getting past that. Now we'll get back to that. I want to get to the main point of why he's telling this. And he drawed near the ship, and he said, "It's I, be not afraid." We'll get back to that. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately was at land where they went. I believe the point of this very abbreviated story of Jesus walking on the water that John gave us, the point is Jesus knows when you're in danger and afraid, and he knows when to come to you. And he got in the boat. Now, if you read Mark's account, you know, that's one of my favorite sermons to preach. I've preached that at a lot of places. Matter of fact, if you Google or sermon audio, Robbie Jeffries, Get Out of the Boat, you'll see Get Out of the Boat's the title. of that sermon and Mark's account, because you got Peter coming out walking on water. John don't cover any of that. You know why? John's point isn't about us getting out of the boat in faith. John's point is Jesus came and got in our boat when we were in a storm. Jesus provided provision in the basket, and Jesus provided himself in the storm. I'd rather go into the storm with Jesus. So what is this communication? What is this connection between the baskets and the boat? Jesus knows where you're at, and he'll come to you. He'll come to you. And Jesus comes walking on the water. Let me make a point here to you. What was rocking their boat? The water caused by the wind. Now, there may be something here tonight that's rocking your boat. Let me let you in on something. Whatever's rocking your boat tonight, Jesus has under his feet. Nothing too powerful for him. Not even the sea. Whatever your difficulty is, it's under the control and authority of Jesus. Whatever your problem may be, it's under the control and the authority of Jesus. You know, let's all, am I the only one in here that ever gets a little worried or afraid? Because if I am, then I'll just go ahead and say that about myself. Now, we all have different ways of doing things. We all have different ways of reacting to things. And you know, the first week of April is coming up, and I'm starting to feel a little bit of pressure. You know, after you've been through something and you know the pain, I'm not so much worried about it, but boy, you just know the pain that's going to come afterwards. You know, you start feeling the pressure. Now, let me, we all have different ways of reacting. And you know how let me let you in on something. I know this is going to take y'all by surprise, but I get a little fussy and I get a little bit of a jerk when I'm afraid. I ain't going to let you know I'm afraid. I'm going to nitpick you to death. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. I'm going to get my mind off myself and get my mind on what's your problem. Now, we all have different ways of dealing with things, don't we? Yeah, I just letting that, that's just a public service announcement, you know. And as I get closer and I snap, if I say something a little snarky, you know it ain't going to be it's not the first, it won't be the last, but give me grace while I've got a procedure coming up. But I don't get snarky. I get full-blown jerk sometimes. That's why so many of y'all wanted to come see me in the hospital when I was down here. I said, oh, Lord, I don't want to lose this church. Well, y'all just stay where you're at, because there's a few in here that have experienced my wrath on the nurses. And they're getting paid to take my abuse. And they get paid well, but in all honesty, we all deal with fear differently. But you know what? You say this is a serious situation. This is a dangerous situation. This is a life or death situation. But Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. Maybe it's your child that's worrying you, not yourself. Maybe it's their health, or maybe it's their spiritual condition. Jesus knows how and when to come to you. His timing's perfect. He knows when to come and calm you in the storm. I don't want to get into the other gospels, but these boys didn't go out here all by themselves. They're following the Lord's instructions. And he's leading them right, and he's they didn't get in this boat by accident. They're following the Lord's instruction. You mean the Lord led them right into a storm? Yeah, he did. Nothing happens without him knowing. What's the message for us? His believers, his children, his people, for us today? You put God first with your earthly provision, he'll provide for you. You can't outgive God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, where there is no variableness. He don't change. I might be moody, but he's not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. You know, Jesus never lost his temper. What he did on purpose. And he knows how to come to you. He knows how to provide for you. What do we do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm sure I've probably given this illustration because I've told it so many times. You hear somebody else tell something and it sticks. A couple came out one time and told Pastor Clarence Walker, said, "Brother Walker, you preached on tithing, but we just can't afford it." He said, "Well, I'll make you a deal. I'll guarantee it for you." "What do you mean you'll guarantee it for you?" "You write the tithe at the beginning of the month before you pay out your bills. If there's any bill that you can't pay, you bring it to me personally and I'll pay it." She said, "The money don't add up." He said, "Honey, just do it. I'm afraid I'll be giving just a little bit to the church and you'll be paying out a lot. Just do it." About 2 months later, she came to him. She said, "Oh, Brother Walker, thank you so much for guaranteeing my tithe." He said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "You guaranteed my tithe." "You know, I did no such thing." She said, "Yeah," and she rehearsed the story to him. He said, "Honey, I didn't guarantee your tithe. The Lord guaranteed your tithe. I just put a man's voice to the Lord's command, and shame on you for taking the word of a man over the word of the Lord. I just helped your faith a little bit." "I wasn't ever worried about it." You give to the Lord. Some of you may say, "No, that's good about you, Brother Rob, giving your life and all this. But I'm not a preacher." Well, you know, somebody's gotta pay for the stuff going on around here. So, you know, just give. Just give. He'll take care of you. Give and it shall be given. Shake down, press together, and run it over. He'll provide for you. Hey, secondly, when you're following the Lord with your life, he knows when to come to you. He knows when to, and sometimes he puts us through some scary things just so we can actually feel his presence and his comfort. I promise you, I believe in my heart that when the three Hebrew boys are sitting there saying, we're not bowing. Our God will deliver us. If our God doesn't deliver us, let it be known to you, O day, O king, we're still not going to bow. Now, I don't know this particularly of the Hebrew boys, okay? But I know this of Rob Jeffries. I have made statements in the past and I've made them like this. And I've made them bold, and I've made them loud, and I've stuck my neck out. And why are my hands behind my back? Because I'm shaking. I know what the right thing to say is. I know what the right thing to do is. And I'm going to do it, but that don't mean I'm still not afraid. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is continuing to do right in the midst of fear. And even when we're afraid, just keep following the Lord and he'll know when to come and strengthen you. His presence is always perfect. He knows when to get in your boat. He knows when to come to you and get in your boat and does it in a way that you know that it's the Lord. Who can be afraid of the Lord? And he says to them, and we'll look at the last two verses and we'll close out. But he saith unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Now, if you're in the hospital room, and which I've been afraid, I don't like to show it to the people around me, but on the inside I'm afraid. But if you're in the hospital room and you're a little afraid, Let me say something. Verse 20 makes absolutely no sense, like most of the Gospel of John, if it's not the Lord saying it. Now, if you're in the middle of a storm and you got waves taller than your boat, and somebody shows up and says, "Don't be afraid, here I am," you know? I walk in the hospital room and you're afraid, and I can look over at you and say, "Don't be afraid, I'm here." That sound like Mighty Mouse, "Here I come to save the day." You say, "Now what is it, man? I knew he was egotistical, but now he's delusional." But when Jesus says, "I'm here," it don't matter what's going on around you. There's no need for fear. "Be not afraid, it's I." One of the other Gospels, they thought it was a ghost walking on the water. "Don't be afraid, it's I." Then they willingly received him into the ship. I'd say they did. "Come on in. Let's stay a while." When Jesus gets in the ship, they willingly received him in the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land. Now, I can't figure that one out. You can't figure that one out. I can't explain that. You can't explain that. And thank God we have a sovereign, powerful creator that is the master of the sea. He is the master of time, space, and distance. He not only walked in the boat, but it was like some kind of a sci-fi movie. Boom! And they immediately appeared up on the shore. He knows how to get you where you're going. He'll make sure, when he tells you to go out to the other side, even if a storm comes, I guarantee you, it doesn't matter what this world thinks. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter if there's impossibility facing you. You're going to reach your destination if Jesus tells you to go. Just follow him. He knows how to stay with you. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. I've probably mentioned this before. I'm stealing it from Paul Washer, but you know the poem Footprints. I look down at the footprints in the sand. I seen two set of footprints, and then I looked up. And then during my worst time of life, I only seen two set of footprints. And then it was explained to me that, because I said, "Where were you, Lord?" And they explained to me, though, it was that time that I was carrying you. Now let me quote Paul Washer. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. If you understood yourself and the Lord, he's carrying you every step of the way. It ain't the Lord walking you through. It's the Lord carrying you through. The only difference is whether you realize it or not. And the reason why sometimes he brings storms is to remind us he's the one carrying us through. But he knows how to make a beeline to us. Yeah, these Jews, they sought him selfishly. They sought him for what he could do for them. The apostles followed him because out of right motives and pure motives. And John just wanted to put in this little snippet before he gets over into this and let you know. The Lord had 12 baskets for his disciples. And when they were afraid and in the boat, he came to them and got in their ship. And they reached their destination. He'll provide if you give him your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things, food, water, raiment, material, they'll be added to you. Let the Lord worry about that. I know a preacher one time who he used to say, he said this, he said, he was going through a trial in his life, and he said, Man, I was up all night. I couldn't sleep. I was just worried to death. Couldn't sleep. Worrying to death. He said he's reading over in, I think it's over in Psalms where it says that the Lord neither slumbers or sleeps. And he said, well, Lord, no sense in both of us being up. You've already got this under control. And for whatever reason, that verse clicked with him and he was able to rest in the Lord. Hey, the Lord's on night watch. He's on night watch. He provides for his children. Provision, safety, courage in the midst of our storms. And the greatest, what's the greatest? He's in there with us. He's with us. And they immediately received him. They received him. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Ask the Lord, bless the Lord King.